so good. And I know it's Easter Sunday, but I'm just glad it's a Sunday and I get to be in the house.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen.
I mean, it's a Sunday. We get to be here in his house. And I'm thankful for that.
We serve a good God. I don't know about you, but we need to do a night of worship soon, because that's crazy. Wow. You know, for us, it's, we love to worship the Lord, and it's just another way of connecting with God. You know, it's our connection. And sometimes it moves you in a way. And I love the way the words are in certain songs, because they can become an anthem, or they can become such an intimate prayer that maybe you just don't have the words to say. And sometimes those words from the songs that are being sang could be the words that could help you on that path.
Amen.
And so that's why we do what we do. We're excited about, like, the times we get to gather together and lift up the name of Jesus. Today, I hope you're ready and to hear a message that's a message of hope. It's an amazing thing. Every Easter, we gather together and we celebrate a risen Savior. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again. That's not all we do on Sundays here. You know, there's more to it, because we do it. Catch me in a couple weeks. I'm going to say it one more time. We celebrate a risen Savior here. And catch me on Monday. You're going to hear me say it to somebody out there about celebrating what he did as he died on the cross. He was remembering my name.
Amen.
And all the things I went through. And he said, I'm going to die for him.
So good.
And put your name in that spot too, because he's going to do the same thing. And he did. And it's an amazing thing that we celebrate. And I hope today that you lean in. And no matter what's going on in your life and what's been happening, that this moment is like no other moment before.
Amen.
It's not like any other moment. It's not routine to come in, or how that looks to coming to church, or whatever the case is, that you lean in for a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit just consume you with those thoughts and hearing this message that my wife and I are going to deliver today. And it's going to be an amazing thing.
Well, I think about it. And how many of you know that the devil was trying to just keep you from coming today?
Woo.
That he did everything in his path to try to keep you defeated and from coming today. And I just want to tell you, I know the devil don't like you, but guess what? Too bad. You already won. You're here.
You're here.
That's the best step to make, is you're here. You took a step to get here. You took a step to face whatever he was throwing in your face and say, you know what, devil, I'm not doing that. I'm going to get in the room. So we just want to tell you, you've already taken a step to victory. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen. Intentional.
Intentional. And we look at it, and I'm just going to tell you, this sermon is going to be completely different Easter sermon than what you've ever heard. So you better get ready, buckle up, and get yourself in order, because God's getting ready to stir up the room. Is that all right?
Let's go.
Okay. What is Easter?
Yeah.
Okay? We're talking about Easter. That's why we're here. It's not for the Lord's chips. If anybody knows, Dad. The Lord's chips.
Dad, don't ever say Nacho Libre.
Hey, he knew what I was talking about. But what we know is that Easter is a Christian holiday that celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ and occurs anywhere on our calendars between March 21st to April 25th of each year, right? If you're looking at the calendar, it lets you know, hey, Easter Sunday is this date at this time, okay? But many different churches and people celebrate it differently, but the majority of people go to church, plan a large dinner with family, color eggs, and hide them, and give Easter baskets as gifts. In statistics, 90% of pastors say that Easter Sunday service is the highest attended service among Christmas and Mother's Day.
Wow.
And it's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad every single one of you are here. Please don't get me wrong. I'm glad you're here. It's good that we came to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anytime we can come together to celebrate Christ, it's a good thing.
Absolutely.
And it's good that we enjoy with friends and families and get together and do whatever our traditions are with families. I'm not knocking any of it. I'm not here to talk about your traditions. I'm here to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, we look at all these things, but did you ever realize that Christ came for so much more than Easter Sunday? The Easter, you look at the signs we have around Easter, it's more than a Sunday. It's more than just today that we come in to worship him and give him praise. If you heard the song that we sang, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. You know, remind yourself the days of the week. It's good that we came for that. But he came to be celebrated more than Easter Sunday. He came for more than Sundays in general. More than just today. And I want to read in 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be on a roll today. Get them out. Let your glow worms glow.
Mine's glowing.
I don't care how you read it. Just read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. But where do we go from there? Where do we go from the moment of when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ? And when you, if you're in this room and you haven't given your heart to Christ, what I'm going to ask you is just let your heart be open to him. Can I tell you, I know if you haven't, I know you're hurting. Yeah. I know that things haven't turned out the way that you thought they might. And I know that life doesn't always work out just the way we want. And just like I gave that praise report about my uncle, but situations like that don't happen like that for everybody. I understand that. But what I came to tell you today is if you open your heart to Jesus Christ, what he will do is come in and carry the weight of the pain, carry the weight of the fear, carry the weight of abandonment, carry the weight of rejection, carry the weight of all that you've gone through and put it upon his shoulders, because he came for so much more than to be celebrated about a cross and a crown.
Let's go. My gosh. You know, on the opposite side of that, hell is the highest reward the devil can offer you.
It's good. It's true.
Something to think about.
Come on.
Because you're saying a lot of stuff, but only hell's the highest reward the devil can offer you. At all. That's a lot to chew on. When we weigh out our life, the way we lay our life out.
Well, it's hard because we want to come in, and nothing against it. We want to talk about this. We want to talk about the crown, and we want to talk about the bread, and we want to talk about the brokenness and salvation, but we don't want to talk about why he really came. You know, it's like hell is a cuss word anymore. But it's real. Hell is real.
Yep.
And Jesus Christ is real. That's why you're here today. You're here to celebrate that he's real and he rose from the grave for the purpose of your salvation.
And it kind of reminds me of like when, if you've, throughout the week, you talk about, you know, there's Palm Sunday and then everything that was leading up to Christ going on the cross. And then Christ on the cross is having small conversation with two other guys on the cross.
Yeah.
And one guy is mad and yelling and the other guy is saying, don't talk to him like that. And the guy says, remember me.
Yeah.
The guy's on the cross. You know why he's on the cross? Because he's a criminal. Mm-hmm. You know why the other guy was on the cross? Because he was a criminal. You know why Jesus was on the cross? Because they let criminals go. Because they said, you can either pick Jesus, the Savior, or you can pick Barabbas. We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas. A murderer. That should be hanging in the middle. And this guy on the cross that's done something so bad that he has to die because that was the tradition of Rome, putting people on crosses. And he says, remember me. And he says, today, you'll be with me. What an amazing thing. The dude didn't do one thing. He didn't try to show himself or prove himself. He just said, remember me. And the other guy chose the other. The highest gift he could receive from the devil himself was hell. Imagine that trip. When you chose not to accept Christ as Savior.
Well, I just thought about every time that you yourself in your daily business. Because, you know, God, I think sometimes we think that, okay, I give my heart to the Lord. That's a one and done. And I'm good. And I'm listen to me, I'm thankful that you want to give your heart to the Lord. But God's not just a one and done.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, He's not your one night stand. He's not your, you know what I'm saying? He's not, he wants to be with you every day.
And
I think about when you, I was thinking about this, when the crowd cried out for Barabbas, do you realize that every time that you deny God or you do something that you know you shouldn't, you are crying out, give us Barabbas.
Mm. That's how
you're saying
is
that in yourself.
Give us
that
Barabbas.
I'd rather have sin than you, God.
Yeah.
I'd rather not pick up my cross.
I couldn't imagine what the other man felt when he went to hell with Jesus.
Ooh.
I wanted to preach a sermon called To Hell With You. And some of you are looking at me like, what? Because do you remember there were some keys that he had to go get? You don't forget about the keys so you have your freedom. He had to go down and tell the devil who was boss real quick and let him know. But imagine that guy being down there with him. I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know you. Took the keys from death, hell, and the grave.
Yeah. That's good.
On behalf for us. And you're talking thousands of years ago that he's on the cross and he's remembering this moment right here. All of your names, all of your faces individually are in his mind as he's dying a brutal death, intestines hanging out, dripping blood, couldn't even hardly breathe, had to pull himself up to breathe. And all he can think about is this day right here, 2024. And we got casual Christianity, like it's just no big deal. He died so you could live. He took the keys so you could be free. I mean, we're running around with chains on. And he's got the key, and all you have to do is go up to him.
But I think what the problem is that we look at it. We've been in this series about there is more.
Yep.
And going back to the point, you know, when you hear the word more, what do you think? I want more, God.
I want more. I want more.
Whatever it is, I want more.
Unless it's a butt kicking. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. The fact of it is when we look at I want more, you know, you look at it, we've been talking about that there is more in you, there's more from you, there's more through you, there's more for you.
Yep.
We've been going through those steps, but there is a cost for the more. The things that you want, there's a cost, and you can look all around. We've handed out flyers throughout the city. We've posted banners. We've posted posters. We've given out all things. It's on everything that is in here to put out to you. And God's saying, you know, we ask it. We say, imagine. There's more than sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, in this way he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. There's more freedom.
That's more.
John 8:36, it says, so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's more love. Jeremiah 31:3, I've never quit loving you and never will.
Come on.
Expect love, and more love.
That's
there's more
love.
Joy.
I love it.
John 6:22b says, your hearts will burst with joy with no one being able to take it from you. That's so good. There's more peace.
Yeah.
John 14:27, I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world. Did you hear that?
Fragile.
Not the kind of fragile peace that's broken every time something comes your way, every time a wind blows, a circumstance happens, every time anything comes in. Not the fragile kind of peace that the world gives, but my perfect peace.
Well, because the fragile peace at times is what we try to fill into our lives to take place of actual peace. Oh, man, if I could just go on that one trip and put my feet in that white sand, I'm going to be just in a peaceful. You get back home, you're still going to be the same way.
That's right.
You might feel peace in a moment until it rains on your parade or your beach. It never ends. That's the fragile peace the world keeps wanting to give everybody in different ways. And are we going to take the bait? Are we going to say, no, I only want his peace.
Yeah.
I only want his joy. I only want his love. I want true freedom.
Well, and when you say those things, there's more future.
Yeah.
There's more future. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for peace and not disaster.
Yep.
Plans to give you a future filled with hope. I mean, anybody in this room say, I don't want any of these things? Anybody? I don't want peace. I don't need that guy.
And if you're trying to figure out what you should do in life, I mean, the answer is right here. That should give you peace in itself. I know the plans that I have for you. The problem we have too many times as we celebrate Easter is we got our own plans and we want God to fit into that. Is he Lord of all or Lord of some?
Well, that brings me to what you said last Sunday. I just wrote this down.
Well, say it.
I'll say it. You spoke about communion.
You smell good.
Last week. I'm sweaty right now. Oh, just okay. Yeah. It's hot.
Okay.
It says, some have acknowledged him as a savior, but have not made him Lord. This is what he spoke last Sunday. Yeah. We talked about from you and communion with God. He said that asking him to be your savior is fire insurance, and this rescues you from hell. But when you choose to live for him every day, you make him Lord of all.
Mm.
God's love for you desires that you do not go to hell by choosing him as your savior, but it's more than that. It's choosing to live for him every day. Yes. I believe this is what Christ was saying to his disciples at the Last Supper at the table of communion.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you, we've said it again, but I'm going to say it each Sunday. Are you ready to dig? Because God wants to speak to you something through his word. It's not ordinary. This is not common communion, common Christianity. This is about standing, and it's not about a common Easter. This is about being uncommon people who are not of this world. We're not of it. Luke chapter 22:17-20.
Yeah.
Says, then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this. And share it among yourselves, for I tell you from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Yep.
And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So in the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this is the cup, the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And I believe at this moment, he was telling the disciples, look, yeah. I'm not going to be with you in the flesh any longer. But just because you won't see me doesn't change the things that I've taught you. But it does change what I'm going to be asking from you. When you take this bread and the cup, it's a demonstration of my salvation over your life. This is not something you will do just now, but daily. This is about communing with you.
That's good.
It's about daily coming into union with me in your thoughts, in your actions, in your desires, in your dreams, in your decisions, and in your hopes. Living for me will cost you something, and the cost will be required daily.
So good.
I'm paying the price for your sin, but everyone will be bought for a price, the price of betrayal or the price of redemption. Everyone will be bought for a price, the price of betrayal or the price of redemption. I want to talk about two prices. Everyone will be bought for a price. Number one, the price of betrayal.
Yeah.
Matthew 26:14-16 says, then one of the 12, the man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they weighed out 30 pieces of silver for him, and from the time he started looking for a good opportunity to betray him. John 13:21-30 says, when Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples started looking at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining close beside Jesus, and Simon Peter motioned to him to find out who he was talking about. Lord, who is it? And Jesus replied, he is the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it. And when he dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, what you are doing, do it quickly. None of those reclining at the table knew why he had said this, since Judas kept the money bag. Some thought that Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. After receiving the piece of bread, he immediately left, and it was night. And God began to speak to me. You look at this because, see, what's crazy is at the table we have the bread that was broken. We have the wine that was given for his blood. We have the crown, and we have the purse. curse of betrayal was sitting right at the table. It's set at the table with God.
They really don't talk about the purse.
30 pieces of silver. At that time, they said it was around anywhere from 250 to 300 and some odd dollars, which during that time was pretty much a year's worth wages. Yeah. Okay? So that was huge. That was a lot. And Judas, he had already had in his heart, he was worried about the money. He was worried about what was going on because he thought in his mind that things should be going a little bit differently than what Jesus had done. Anybody ever been that? You talk to God, but you think it should be a little bit differently than what you think he's doing, you know?
I mean, we're out here evangelizing. We should be getting paid more.
Yeah. Right? I mean, come on. What are we doing?
I mean, I can't fly in unless it's like $10,000 and you got to feed me my favorite meal.
Mm-hmm. And if I don't have anything but brown M&Ms, you kid me not. That's happened. Where are we?
Where are we today?
Where are we? We're all right now sitting at the table with Jesus. But what I want to ask you is, do you have the purse in your hand? Do you have it in your hand? And God said this. He said, when the desire for the prize is greater than the promise, you will pay the price. And even if it costs you everything. When the desire for the prize is greater than the promise, you will pay the price, even if it costs you anything and everything. Whether we like it or not, we're paying a price.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is it all comes down to your soul.
Yeah.
Your soul for the eternity with Jesus Christ, or your soul for condemnation and damnation in hell. You may not like those words, but let me tell you what, it is real. The Bible is real, and it is truth. And at the table with Jesus at the Lord's Supper, before he went out to the cross, it was because of betrayal.
Yeah. That's sad.
See, Jesus sold out Judas, or Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and paid the price of his soul. And I want to ask you something. Why is it that the world requires from us, what the world always requires from us, is always easier to take in than what God requires from us? Why is it so much simpler to do it the world's way than to do it God's way? Why are we so hard-headed? It's because the prize and the thing that we want is greater to us than the promise of Jesus Christ.
Well, because this goes back to control. I can control what goes on in this purse. I control what goes in and out of this purse. And that's the problem we have. We don't want the promise because we want the control. And then we try to buy our own promise.
But what if you don't have the control? Let's look at it this way.
Yep.
We all complain about inflation right now and gas prices. Yet we all buy gas and we all still buy groceries, right?
Got to.
Because we need it. You got to eat to survive. You got to have gas to get to work. Or guess what? Somebody's going to buy horses and buggies, and we're going to be going places like that. Or you're going to get in shape real quick and walk. Because the thing about it is, we look at those kind of, listen to me. This is how simple we look at it. We complain about those things, but what happens is the cost the world requires us to pay, we'll do it. Because we have to. Right? I mean, that's how we look at it. But what if we lived our lives for Christ that way? We may not like everything he asks us to do, and sometimes it may be hard because it costs us more than we ever imagined, but we can't go without him, and we need him to survive, so no matter what the cost, we'll pay it. What if we treated God the way we do putting gas in our car? I'm being serious. You may not like what God is asking you to do. You may not like what I have to say, but the fact of it is what he has to say is what's matter, and his word is truth, and is it worth paying the price for to you? Or will you carry the purse out of here when you leave? Will you carry the purse with you? I think that the way of thinking in this way leads you to living more for God than Sunday, but every day.
Yeah.
Can you say it with me? I was made for more. Let's say it. I was made for more. Say it again. I was made for more.
Yep.
The price of betrayal shows us two things.
Yeah.
Just because we know scriptures and spend our time in places of worship doesn't mean we know him as Savior. Just because we know scriptures and spend time in our places of worship doesn't mean we know him as Savior. The Pharisees and the head leaders of the religious law could not allow the scriptures they read to penetrate their hearts, so they became merely recited words. He's more than just words on a page.
What's crazy, love, is that, you know, we talk about the resurrection and we talk about what he did on the cross, and it's the saddest thing that it was religious leaders that put him there. And it's the saddest thing that was one of the closest of the 12 that released him there. Jesus was going to die either way. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to die for our sins. That's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate cost. But it's sad that it's always within, that these people couldn't understand and see it. They had to think that, like, Jesus was going to come up in a different way, like on some white horse instead of on a donkey.
With an army.
There's no way he's going to, with an army that's going to overthrow Rome. And he wasn't even talking about that. He's like, it's more than that. It's more than what this is all about. It's more than just Jerusalem. We're talking about Terre Haute, Indiana, 12 disciples. We're talking about this place in Terre Haute. It's more than that. And he was trying to get it in their thick skulls of understanding that it's not about this. Yes, I get it, but there will always be wars and rumors. You know, there's always that. And he was trying to get them to understand, and these guys were so upset and mad that he was coming, bringing the truth. And it just, they didn't want to read the whole scripture. They just wanted to read some of what, they didn't even read all of the scrolls that was talking about that in Isaiah and talking about the Messiah coming and all the stuff that was happening in the prophetic words that were spoke. Didn't even want to believe it. Wanted to bypass certain things. It's basically Jesus, he came, he disrupted our establishment, he's got to die.
Yeah.
He's got to go, he's messing up our establishment. And what I want to tell you at home and for yourself is he's going to rearrange your life. And it's not a bad thing. He's going to mess up your establishment, and it's a good thing. It's a great thing. So salvation comes at the beginning. It's after that. It's you accept Christ into your heart. It's what you do outside of that when you walk out of those doors. It's what you do in that car, what's hiding inside the glove box, or whatever you're listening to, and all the stuff in your cabinets, and the stuff in your house, and all the friends, and on your different friends list. It's what you do with your life after that. That it's going to stick, or it's just going to be another fire and out, fire and out. Big old hype moment and then out.
Because it doesn't settle. It doesn't settle. The word doesn't become flesh and dwell in you. In John 1:1-4, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
Yep.
All things were made by him, and without them was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word. They could not take the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among them, and they could not accept what they were reading through his life as literally living it out.
Life.
Jesus came to show, listen to me, Jesus was the greatest example of how the Word can be lived out in the world. Yep. And that's why he came. And what's crazy is you'll never make it without the light. Don't become so caught up in your interpretation of the Word that you miss God himself, and the light of who he is becomes unable to go deep into your heart.
Wow.
Don't miss out on God.
Yeah.
See, what's crazy is they spent time in the temple, a.k.a. the church, right? And they still didn't accept him. And this is tough, but I heard God say, just because you go to church or visit church doesn't mean you are the church. Just because you go to church or visit church doesn't mean you are the church.
Yeah.
The church is what led the betrayal to the Savior on the cross.
Yeah.
Just because, number two, the other point that it shows us this is just because we walk with him, know his works, proclaim them, and do the works of him ourselves doesn't mean we know him as Lord.
Wow.
Judas walked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus.
Close to Jesus.
He did mighty works in his name. He healed people. He saw the work of the Lord happen. He was the treasurer for the disciples. He was so close to the Lord, yet so far away.
You wonder why in a weird spot, if you know anything about the Bible, when Jesus called the rich young ruler to follow him, and he said no. Because that guy would have been in charge of the purse.
Yeah.
That's just a side note to dig on your own, because it's very interesting.
Isn't it funny that God allowed him to be over something that tried to hold over him? Do you realize that for you to ever be able to battle anything in your life, you have to conquer it?
Yeah.
And God will always put you through a test to see if you will be able to conquer it. But he has a way out. He has a way out for you. Judas just didn't take it. Judas could not wrap his head around Jesus being the Lord of all. And instead of relying on God, he went back to what he always relied on. For Judas, it was the prize. What do you rely on? What do you fall back to when your world falls apart? What do you go back to? The same things? Doing the same thing every day? Instead of just living a life for Christ, it's more than just a Sunday. It's more than today. He came so we could celebrate him every day.
Yep.
Every day. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our super spiritual projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves look important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. See, Judas never realized that it was more than just the moments he spent with Jesus. It was for eternity and the eternity of others. You were made for more. But I ask you this, what is the price you are paying that could cost you your soul in the end? What's in your purse? What's in your bag? Men don't carry purse. Well, what's in your wallet? What do you got? What's in your pocket? What's in the pocket of your heart? What are you carrying around? What are you willing to pay the price for? Because no matter how much you say you spend with Jesus or know him, it doesn't matter. In the end, you are only betraying God, but you are also betraying yourself.
Yeah.
You're cheating yourself out of everything for a small bag of coins. You're 30 pieces of silver. Actually, right now, these are 30 quarters, so that ain't going to get you nowhere. You know what I'm saying? But we do.
Yeah.
We even exchange God for pennies. Because what we want is more important than what he wants. Living for him every day. And then we want to come back and say, oh, but I know God and I serve him and I love him. And God, I'll get in your word and I'll read my daily word. But then you go out living like something different. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean it. It has a lot of acts to follow that. And you have to be followed up by the word of God and what it says in there. Because I'm going to tell you something. Remember, a seat at the table on earth doesn't mean a seat at the table in heaven. A seat at the table with Jesus on earth doesn't mean a seat at the table in heaven. Judas missed it. He missed it.
It's crazy is when he left to do what he was going to go do, you find Jesus in the garden. And he took three people deep in the garden. Peter, James, and John. And he tells them, stay alert. Don't fall in temptation. Stay alert. Stay awake. Wake up. Zion, wake up. You awake? Okay.
Poor kid. He was awake.
Now somebody's wife's nudging their husband, wake up. Stay awake. It said that Jesus went deeper into the woods after the three stayed. It says in the Bible that it was a basically a stone throw deep. So however far you can throw your rock, that's how far Jesus went into the woods, away from them. And he came back and he found them. How some people are on Sunday mornings at church. Head banging, just in their chairs. Bobblehead, and I'm here. And he's like, hey, don't fall asleep. Hey, don't fall in temptation. And this is where we have this separation, is because we got Christians falling asleep in today's society. Don't be, he says it loud and clear. Stay alert. Don't be tempted. Stay alert. Don't be tempted. Well, this is the Lord's Supper. Well, how many times have you drank it? I mean, it's called alcohol now. Yeah. You're a drunk. Yep. That's deep, isn't it? That's real deep. But the point is he's trying to say something. Stay alert. Yep. Stay alert. Don't be tempted. Stay alert. Don't be. I don't know what your week or your month or what led you to this day and how it's been in the past. Have you been tempted? Did you fall asleep on it and let it happen? This is not just about, this is for everybody. Yeah, I had to give a few coins to that because that temptation felt good. We'll go ahead and put that on there. And it just hurts Christ a little bit more when he's dying and he's like, I'm dying for your sins. Why do you keep creating more?
He was drinking the cup of your coins.
Yeah. Yeah.
The suffering.
And so, They're asleep, but yet temptation comes. Well, I'll drink that. Yep. That'll be good to drink. Whatever that temptation is. And Christ comes back again. And by the time he comes back again, guess what? They're asleep again. Now, this is the elite. This is the ones that are walking side by side. This is the ones that went deeper into the woods. Well, I wish I was just by you and we could. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. The people are still going to fall asleep. I mean, if I was there, I wouldn't have slept. Yeah, you would have. This is the closest that anybody's got to his breath, to his eyes, could see the world in his eyes. And they're falling asleep. And by the time he comes back and says it again, well, here comes Judas. It's time. Oh, you know how you're startled because you've been sleeping? And now they're coming to him. And Judas gives him the kiss of betrayal to identify that this is Christ, because some of those guys didn't know who he was. They were just, because he was through the crowd, Judas's kiss. But here's what Christians do right now, though. They act like they're doing something. Oh, I'm gonna step up for God now. I'm going to step up. Ka-shah! Peter cuts off an ear. Oh, I'm going to do something for God right now. And you're still half drunk. Oh, hold on. Where are we at? You ain't going to do that to him. You see what I'm saying? We trade it in. He's like, don't fall in temptation. Because if you was already alert, this would kind of go a little different. Now you've jumped and you're startled and you act like you're somebody that you're not, and you're cutting an ear off. But you know how good God is? Jesus Christ is so good. No matter what you did or what you've done and whoever you've hurt and how many times you've hurt them, that he stoops down. Just like he did in eternity at the beginning of life. And he's building and he's shaping man and woman. He's doing all this stuff he does. He spoke everything else into existence. He does it one more time. I'm going to bend down. I'm going to pick up an ear. This ain't Mike Tyson. This ain't all that. I'm going to stoop down. I'm going to pick up an ear. And I'm going to touch him, the guy that got his ear cut off. And I'm going to reattach it. Just because I touched it. Do you know what's amazing about that? That whole scenario, church. That's what happens with, there's different ones that they're lost and they're just running from God. There's ones that act like they're just like, I'm a good Christian. I do love God, but you keep falling asleep in temptation of everything around you. And you play church, and you play games over and over. There's all kinds of stuff representing at the table today. But how good Jesus is. He stoops down, puts the ear on. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? Because if he didn't do that, there would be a fourth cross to be hung. And if Peter would go to the cross, we wouldn't be sitting in church today. But there was no sign of any injury to that man. They cannot prove that that ear came off. That's how good Jesus is. No matter what you've done, he can heal it. And no sign of injury to it. Because he knew something Peter didn't know yet. Even though he denies him later, he didn't know yet that, listen, you're going to start a church because your name's Peter the Rock. And on this rock, I'm going to build a church. And the gates of hell won't stop it. And here we are today because Jesus stooped down and picked up an ear and slapped it on him and said, you're healed. To protect the one that was going to birth the church.
That's the price of redemption.
Wow.
That's redemption. Come
and
on.
Here we are today. No matter what you've done, no matter how much you're bleeding out from all the stuff you're gone through, he can stop up the blood and cause a healing in your personal life today. Because you don't know, like Peter didn't know, that God's got a plan for your life to do something incredible. And other people need you around to do the work of God. They just don't know it yet. Prime example, you're all sitting in church and I'm the one talking. I should be dead or in jail, prison or something for my life and my past. Hello. Half the people I know from Terre Haute are like, there's no way Brandon Norman's a pastor. That dude was crazy. But God picked up my ear, put it back, put me in line, and got me on my feet. Because he knew that someday you're going to start a church with your family and God's going to put all these people in this room in 2024 and they're going to sit here and hear it. They're going to what? They're going to sit here and hear it. So good. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
I'm going to run around. I'm about to run.
That's what it is. That's called redemption. Woo. That's called redemption.
I don't know how people can't read the Bible and or even think it's boring. Like, this is some crazy stuff and so incredible at the same time. And the stuff from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And those people that say, well, that don't matter anymore. Woo, you got a problem.
Well, we
got
to get to the point that all this, the bag, all the stuff that's going on, that we don't just, you know, look at this and this then becomes an idol instead of an altar where you allow God to alter you in a state of a heart. It's just coming in and yep. saying, oh, God died on the cross, and I'm just going to come honor him yep. for that.
Oh,
and
wait, hold
the crown,
on.
And he ate the
There's
bread.
Communion. Let me do that real quick.
Yeah, let's hurry up and do what I need to do. God came for more than that. And what he came to say is today,
That's
you.
Nasty.
It's old.
Nasty.
I'm sorry. But let me tell you what.
Like,
Some of you are trying to get fed off of last week's bread instead of coming in to get fed off the altar of God, and you put it in your mouth, but you'll go back to it anyways and continue eating because it's on the table.
Wow. So good. I got to drink the water. Oh, that hit me hard.
See, the thing about it is in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, Christ himself suffered when he died for you. Yeah. And with that one death, he paid for your sins. He was not guilty, but he died for people who are guilty. Yeah. He did this to bring all of you to God. In this physical form, he was killed, but he was made alive by the Spirit. Yeah. Titus 2:11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people.
So good.
It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age.
Don't
while
fall.
We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great
yes.
God and Savior, Jesus Christ,
yes.
who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify oh. himself,
yes.
a people that are his very own. Wait. Eager to do what is good.
Sessions who are zealous for the good works.
To do what is good. God sent his son to pay the price for your sins in return for redemption.
Yeah.
Do you know what that word means?
So good.
It means to improve or save someone or something from evil, suffering, or debt. That is the very first definition in the dictionary.
Yeah.
to improve or save someone or something from evil, suffering, or debt. But I came here, and Brandon came here to tell you today that his redemption doesn't stop at the cross.
Yeah. Keeps going.
He came so that we could live lives eager to do his work and live for him. This is going to be a little crazy, but I know that it's the truth. It's more than the cross.
Yeah.
It's more than a Sunday to remember him. It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be more than just that one moment. Why else would he have done it?
Yeah.
Just so you can keep going on and do the same crap you do every day? Why would he give his life for that? I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to give my life for myself sometimes. Because of the way I treat him. It's an everyday thing. You can't look at it and go, oh, well, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get up the next day. Let me tell you something. If you had a friendship or a marriage or you had a relationship or a coworker who said and did something to you constantly, and then they said that they were sorry, but never stopped doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, would that work for you?
Man.
Would it work? Right?
It's good. Good stuff. Wow.
Because how many times have we probably done that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. No, you ain't. You are not sorry. You're just sorry you got caught in the moment and that he found you out. But the sad thing is, no matter whether you are found out or not, you're actually found out. He knows everything. He knows it all.
Well,
and you can't live like that. You live like that in the flesh.
Yep.
We can't treat like that. It says we're not of this world.
Well, that's what the problem that was happening when Jesus was trying to tell those disciples, like, stay alert. You've fallen asleep. We've fallen asleep through culture. We're falling asleep through all the stuff that's going on around us. And we're just taking an easy seat, and we're being quiet, or we're so holy that we're waiting on the rapture bus stop and not moving a muscle to help anybody that's still here. We're still stuck trying to just, I just want him to come home real quick. Like, that's so selfish, because I still got an aunt that needs Jesus. I still got a friend that needs Jesus. I still got somebody else that needs Jesus.
Well,
you ain't doing nothing. How about your family? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the fact of this is that we look at it, and we look at God, and we think, you know, when he asks us to do something, I can't do that. That's really hard. Or, you know, I just messed up again. I just messed up. I can't get rid of that. I can't get rid of that. I don't care whatever your addiction is. We all have addictions in this room. I'm just telling you like that. It goes past the point of just alcohol, pornography. It goes past the point of drugs. It goes past the point of cigarettes. It goes past the point of being shopaholics. We all have an addiction, because whatever you spend more time with is what you are addicted to.
Well, this,
we all have it.
I wrote this down last night, and it makes so sense with this. And I was trying to figure out when to say it. Grace doesn't give you permission to live any way you want. Grace gives you the power to walk away from who you used to be.
I love that, because I see, that was perfect timing. God knows.
Well, let's dance. Come on, girl.
I'm hot. So, here, perfect.
A little
perfect
house on
example.
A prairie.
Let me tell you something real quick. You look. Are you following me?
Okay, I'll stay over here.
So we look.
Girl, I'm coming up behind you.
We look at Christ, right? Not only did he show you the cross and doing what he did. Do you realize that if you look at it scientifically, because they don't really put it out like movies or theatrically exactly how it was. But do you realize that the back of him was so torn and so ripped open that his ribs were literally being grated on the cross after he was doing that? And what happened was, when they put his insides, his internal organs, well, I'm not trying to get graphic, but it's the truth. His internal organs were hanging out. Blood was seeping through, because they wanted him to live and or die a painful, slow death. He was dying. So from that, anybody who's a nurse or anything like that, all of a sudden he was getting edema and all that kind of stuff in his heart. He had water and all the fluids around his heart. That's why when they pierced him with the spear, you're like, why did blood and water flow out? Well, because his lungs were full of water. His heart was full of water around it, because it was literally suffocating him to death. And when he went down that road, no man should have ever been able to survive through that. And when they pierced through his hands, the reason they put it where it is because they knew the ligaments would tear and he would have to pull himself up to get a breath. But all of it is, we take it for granted, because in one breath he breathed life into you. And here he is pulling himself up with a crown of thorns in his head. All the agony. Literally no one could have survived it. But the reason Christ showed it that way is I believed he's saying, you can survive anything. You can make it through anything. You can follow my example. That's why I tell you, pick up your cross daily. You can do it. Yeah. And guess what? When you fall and can't carry your cross, I'll be like the man who carried mine. And I'll carry it for you. I'll carry it for you.
It's powerful.
You can do it. That's the price of redemption. Yeah. That's the price that he paid. But not so you could just do it a one and a done thing, no. But so you could live for it every day.
Live it out.
Luke 9:23. He said, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interest, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me. I don't want to suffer, I'm out. I'll do everything you ask me, God, except for that last part. I don't want to suffer, and I really don't want to die for you because you're asking a little too much of me. Yeah. I can't do that. And he says, conforming to my example in living. And what's crazy is not only were you bought with the price of redemption, but so was Christ. Think about it. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he was so full of sin that his Father turned away from him. But when he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That was the moment where redemption took place through Christ first.
So good.
If he can be bought for the price of redemption, why can't you?
My goodness.
He was full of sin. God could not look at him. He was so full. And then he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. That's when redemption took place. That's when death, hell, and the grave were defeated. Do you realize every day you have the opportunity to defeat death, hell, and the grave? You already have the daggum keys in your hands. Use them. Use them.
He's given us the authority. And that had to have been one of the most craziest moments for Christ. Even though he's dying, he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Feeling like the Father has turned his back in that moment. I commit myself. He dies. And what I love the most about it, they didn't have to talk about it, but they did. They talked about a VIP veil that was torn in two. The veil. See, like, if it was in today's, we would have lamb and they would have to sacrifice it, and you would come up to me and talk to me about your sins, and I would say, okay, well, thank you for sharing with your sins. I'm going to go before the Father behind the veil, and I'm going to present a sacrifice to God. I'm going to kill an offering, and I'm going to say, God, touch them in his sin and or her sin, and they're going to hope to God that I did what I was supposed to do after they left me. But it says that the veil was torn when he died on the cross. So you have full access into the throne of God by yourself, that you can boldly go before him and have a conversation, because the ultimate lamb was sacrificed, so you can walk before and get right up to the throne room and say, God, I need you. God, help me. I need you. I can't do this anymore like this. But that the problem we face is we still think there's a veil. God did it. He redeemed it. He changed it all. He healed an ear so a man could start a church.
Yeah.
He did it all. He took one on the cross to glory that didn't do anything, but was living a sinful life, dying for his problems he had. I don't even know what he did, but he did something to be on the cross. And he says, today you'll be with me. The guy didn't do one thing. Didn't go to church, didn't pay tithe, didn't become a member somewhere or whatever. Didn't wear church clothes. I've never seen that in a store anyway, but aisle 3, church clothes. But the point is, He didn't do one thing. We try so hard to get all this stuff in order. Just come like you did today. Just come as you are.
So good.
And we pray that today that you leave changed, that you get a hold of this gospel, this crazy couple that is so passionate. You know why we are? Because we're the ones that were trying to sell stuff. Hey!
Because we're the ones that realize we deserve hell.
Yeah.
We deserve it. But he says you're bought.
And you realize this, that she said it, and I know we're closing this thing, but when he was whipped, it said the cat of nine tails, so basically they would break jars and they'd take just all this tar and they would dip it all in it and get all, like today it would be glass and screw and nuts and bolts and all this stuff. And then when they had to have the claws on the end of it, so when they stretched him over it, then they would whip him with it. It would wrap around his front and then swing it back and it would just tear his insides and all of his back 39 times. He should have died at the post. But you know why he didn't die at the post? He was thinking of you today.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that, and I'm going to get on that cross, and I'm going to climb up a hill, and I'm going to put it up there, and I'm going to die so they can come boldly before me today.
Come on.
So they can come boldly before me.
Come on.
That they don't have to do that.
Come on.
But too many times we whip ourselves because we can't get through it anymore. We try to just do things. And you wonder why people struggle with cutting themselves and different things like that, trying to change the pain.
So good.
And spiritually, we're just at this place like, he will never take me back. Yes, he will. Do you realize if Judas wouldn't have committed suicide, Christ would have took him back?
Yeah.
Just like he took Peter back. He would have said, Judas, do you love me? I do love you. I'm sorry I sold you out. And feed my sheep. He would have took him back. But Judas couldn't handle it and bought the lie of the enemy that your life wasn't worth living for. And that's not the case today, church. That's not the case. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen. Amen. This is last scripture. We're closing up. I know your Easter roast or ham or whatever may be burning, but I don't really care.
Cornish hen.
I care about the desire of God to be burning in your heart.
Yeah. The kids are good back there.
And Jesus said, last scripture, in John 17, 12 through 21, he said this. This was his prayer that he was praying right before he was taken. He said, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, and my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for only these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I'm going to skip to verse 26, and it says, I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. It says, the evening before his death, Jesus prays that his disciples will be holy people. He prays for them to be separated from evil in the world for the purpose of worshiping and serving God and fulfilling his purposes on earth. They must be set apart in order to be in close relationship with the holy God, to live for him and to be like him. The Holy Spirit accomplishes this process of sanctification as Jesus' followers devote themselves to living by truth revealed to them by the Spirit. The truth is both the living word of God and the written word of God that's to be revealed through them. And God began to speak to me. And I wrote it down, and this is what he said. I hear the Lord saying, imagine, just imagine more people who truly lived for me. A people who didn't see me as some idol or icon, but as their father and their friend. Imagine a people whose lives changed the world because they came to realize the more within them. They came to realize the cost of the cross doesn't end on the Easter holiday, but it is a daily example of the lives they should live before me. Imagine more love, more joy, more freedom, more peace, more future, more and more. But imagine all these things not only are in you, but come out from you in the lives you live for me. I've come to tell you today that it's more than a Sunday. It's more than a prayer of salvation. You were made for more, and that more is a life lived as evidence to who I am. Everyone is bought for a price, and all I'm asking is what's yours. Will you betray me and yourself, or will you live a life of redemption through me? Don't forget that this choice is made daily, because there is so much more. Stand with me this morning. The price of the prize was worth more than the promise, and it cost everything. Price of the prize, the price of the bag was worth more. What price are you willing to pay today? You have to ask yourself, and you'll have to ask yourself tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. What price am I willing to pay? The price of betrayal, what will I be bought with? Betrayal or redemption? It's a choice, daily. Daily, in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, in the time that you spend. And like I said, we all have addictions. What price are you willing to pay? I want everybody to bow their head, close their eyes this morning. We already spoke it at the beginning that, you know, to have your heart be open for him if you wanted to receive him. Like I said, this isn't your normal, you know, everyday Easter service. It's not common. I'm done being common. We're done being common. We shouldn't be common, because when we're common to the world in that way, that means we live like it. It says when, even though Peter came, he said, I became common to all people, but I didn't do anything that separated me from God. But we think becoming common means I got to do what the world is doing around me. That thinking will get you straight to hell. So today I want to ask you, if anybody in this room, this is dead serious, and I'm going to give you this opportunity, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we ask that you raise your hand this morning. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. Just give it a few more minutes. Raise your hand. Let it set deep. Jesus Christ is nothing to be embarrassed of. Ain't nobody need to be looking at you anyways. It's about you and him. It's truth. Anybody else before we pray? I believe that the one who has their hand raised, I believe that when you raised your hand, Jesus Christ already heard your prayer. I believe that he heard that you wanted him more than anything in this room. And so what's going to happen is changes are going to begin to take place. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray with you, and we're going to believe for your salvation today. So repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for paying the price for me. I choose today to be bought for the price of redemption. I choose today to lay the bag of betrayal down. And God, you are Lord of all in my life today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Come on, celebrate with him. Celebrate with him.